Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved. And, of course, the host and founder of the program is the great Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. And she'll be speaking with a Harvard-educated physician and author on this program, talking about how to live a slower, deeper, and more connected life for your second wind. I'll be telling you more about that in a moment. But looking ahead at the hour, we're going to be joined by Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine to discuss what's happening behind the curtain on this medium known as talk radio. And we'll be getting a little spacey. I'll be talking with legendary astronaut, the second man to set foot on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, will be with us to talk about his latest book, Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration. He says we have to evolve and move to Mars to survive as a species. And I can't say, looking at the big picture, he's all that wrong. But that's just my personal opinion. And space travel, of course, is a major interest of mine. So that's going to be fun. And our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, will be talking about charity scams to avoid. So we got a power-packed hour for you. Let's jump right into it now with the host of the program, Carol Marx, front and center, interviewing Dr. Bill Thomas. He's a Harvard-educated physician and author of the book titled Second Wind, Navigating the Passage to a Slower, Deeper, and More Connected Life. It's published by Simon & Schuster.
Now, is it fair to say, as a longevity expert, your growing realization that our society is being damaged by ageism led you to start in 2014 your first roadside bus tour called The Second Wind, Impact, and Engagement? And can you tell us a little bit about the things that you do and did in that show? Because it's an amazing variety of things.
Well, you know, I think you put your finger right on it when you were talking about the problem of ageism. One of the things that's really sadly ironic about American society in our time is that aging is actually experiencing the greatest success in world history, but we live in a culture that's obsessed with youth. So I've been going out, traveling city to city by bus and conducting live events where I get together with people and we talk about a different kind of experience of aging, a different approach to aging, a different philosophy of aging, one that's really built on growth and development rather than decline.
Now let's talk about ageism and why it got started and why it's so entrenched and what we can do about it. And doesn't it have a lot to do with the arbitrary life cycles that our culture has come up with? And what are they? And you know, basically, they could have named almost anything, right?
Well, yeah, you know, our culture, for some pretty complicated and strange reasons, our culture has moved far, far beyond a simple appreciation for youth, where we just say, oh, you know, youth is beautiful, youth is attractive. Instead, we've come to believe that youth is perfect and that youth represents perfection. And the problem with this is that if youth is perfection, then aging can only be one thing, and that is decline. So we imagine this life cycle, like you were saying before, we imagine this strange life cycle where early in our lives we hit some pinnacle and then the rest of our lives is all downhill. And that's actually not realistic or true. It's an illusion. It's a mythology created by our society. So I'm out there saying that aging, and this is, some people have a little trouble with this, but I'll just say it. Aging isn't the loss of youth. Aging is the transcendence of youth. Aging is the word we use to describe growth and development in the second half of life.
And acquired wisdom, too, which is...
Yeah. Right.
So important. And you said, you made a good point about, you know, the baby boomers that were born after World War II. And, you know, they have gone through, you know, so many cycles, as you've mentioned, you know, happy days, adolescence seemed like just lots of fun. And then a lot of people went on to actively fight against the culture that was there at the time, and they were called counterculture people. And then even more confusing is that once they left the adolescence and entered adulthood, their values just changed drastically and had all to do with being busy and efficient. And how did all this confusing changes happen?
Well, you know, it's so interesting when you refer to the 1960s and 70s, and those were very turbulent decades. A big reason why those were really turbulent decades is we had 80 million people trying to figure out how to get out of childhood and into adulthood. And that was a very confusing time for our culture because you had a huge fraction of the population sort of stuck or transitioning between two life phases. And then, and I have to say this because I was born in 59, so I'm in the group that would be referred to as the baby boom, or would be referred to as the post-war generation. I actually find that the problem with the baby boom generation, and I count myself as one of them, is that we went overboard on adulthood. We turned adulthood up to 11, and everything in our culture and our society became based on and related to performance and measurement and efficacy. So we actually, part of the problem we have as members of the baby boom generation is we wind up having to sleep in the bed we made. that we made a society so obsessed with youth and performance that it's not a great place to grow old.
That's true, because the whole thing was and remains that as an adult you were going to be very active physically and mentally. And as you have said so well, that ageism begins when some people still in their adulthood no longer can do some of the things that they did when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so get kind of discriminated against and don't feel as good about ourselves.
Well, you know, I mean, look at how that is even, how that's framed. Basically, people are measured according to what they can do. They're rarely measured according to what they can be or who they are or the content of their life experience. They're measured according to how fast they can climb a flight of stairs or how many hours they can work or how many miles they can drive without stopping. These become the measurements. And those are fine measurements for young people. I don't have any problem with that. But they're actually terrible measurements for assessing the worth and value of an older person.
So true. And even when you go to the physician, I went this week, and they measure you, and you have lost, say, an inch in height,
mm-hmm.
It's not very reassuring the way they present it to you.
Right. Well, you know, I wish I had been your geriatrician. So when we found out that you had lost an inch in height, I would have congratulated you for being perfectly normal.
I love that. And that's so appropriate. Now I feel better.
Dr. Bill Thomas, in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Second Wind, Navigating the Passage to a Slower, Deeper, and More Connected Life. It's published by Simon & Schuster. If you want more information, you can go to drbillthomas.com. And that isn't all of him. We have more coming up in just a few moments. Carol Marks continuing her discussion with Dr. Bill Thomas. In this next segment, he's going to be describing what he calls elderhood. Certainly very interesting indeed. Later in the program, we're going to be joined by Steve Wiseman talking about charity scams that you should avoid. Steve Wiseman is not only a senior correspondent here on A Touch of Gray, he's one of the nation's leading experts on cybersecurity and all the scams and fraud that we have to watch out for out there. So we got plenty coming your way. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, A Touch of Gray, The talk show for grown-ups continues in a moment.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. New guidelines from the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism for persons 65 and older reveal that if women drink more than 7 drinks per week or greater than 3 drinks per occasion, and men 14 drinks per week or greater than 4 drinks per occasion, you're at risk for illness or injury. As the body ages, the tolerance to alcoholic beverages decreases. Literally, at 65 and older, you're unable to process alcoholic beverages as, say, a person that is 45. Alcoholic overuse and intolerance can worsen mental confusion, problems with balance and falls, depressive disorders, dehydration, inadequate nutrition, adverse interaction with some medications, and can lead to social isolation. One drink is 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of liquor, or the amount in a shot glass. Are you ready to acknowledge that at age 65 and older, that fewer than 7 drinks per week or 1 drink per day is the limit and offers you the advantages of leading a healthier and safer lifestyle? I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
When we ran out, we stopped using it.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? We thought everything was fine, and that was not a good thing.
No.
He started stinking. It was awful.
Shedding comes back. Loss of hair, lots of dandruff.
Scratching will return. His shedding will increase.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite, he would go back to his hair loss.
DynoVite.com.
859-428-1000.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite,
when I get to about 3/4,
oh no, I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
DynoVite.com.
Each and every day she is getting a Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
Don't do what I did and run out.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DynoVite.com.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. If you'd like more information about the show, more information about the activities of its founder and host, Carol Marks, resources to live a better life, archives of some of the best shows we've done in the past. This program's been a national syndication for more than 20 years, serving the needs of upper demographic citizens. Well, just check it out at atouchofgray.com. And gray is spelled with an E. The website is atouchofgray.com. Okay, let's get back to a very interesting conversation between our host, Carol Marks, and our guest, Dr. Bill Thomas.
Now, you also have said something when you were on TV's very popular TED show, which I enjoy watching, that's going to be forever embedded in my brain. And that is, because I never thought about them, when older people can no longer do things, they disappear from our view, we don't hear about them, where do they go? They go into nursing homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the problems we have in American society when it comes to aging is that older people are often not present in our public life. They're often hidden away. Some people who are older and disabled in some way are really hidden away, and no one sees them, hidden away inside an institution. But even healthy older people, in some sense, disappear from our society. And that's one thing I love about your show, and I love what you do, is that your voice is being heard. Your ideas are being heard, and we that's something we need much more of in American society. And I, by the way, I don't think that older people have a monopoly on insight or a monopoly on good ideas. I just think that their ideas belong as part of the conversation. So if you turn on the radio or television, ordinarily, the only voices you see outside of political figures, the only voices you see are those of younger people. And that's fine. Young people have interesting things to say, but it's not enough. We actually need a diet of insights from people of all ages.
And we need to have that conversation between younger and older people, because together we can solve problems, and there are so many problems that we could work together on.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And so we have these people, so many, in nursing homes, and, you know, I never would have thought of connecting the point, but there are more nursing homes than Starbucks coffee shops. So,
yeah, that's true. I actually think Starbucks coffee shops are a lot more fun. But, you know, the thing about what we've done is we've decided that really the only way, or the main way, that we are going to assist people in old age who need help, more help than their family can provide, is to create an institution and to place them in an institution. And that institutionalization of older people is not in line with the history. Young children with developmental disabilities used to be taken from their families and put in institutions, and with terrible consequences. And I think someday we're going to look at the era when we took older people away from their families and institutionalized them with terrible consequences. And we'll say, wow, why did we ever think that was a good idea? I mean, what?
This is so true. And you know, today, yeah, where everybody's talking about our government can't afford anything, we have debt, and everything is about there's no money to be spent on anything. Keeping older Americans in their community and place is so much less expensive and so wonderful for everybody in the community. You know, these ideas just make so much sense. We have projects about them occasionally, but I don't ever see them really getting carried out in a big way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a big part of our society that has to be changed, and even though I would love to see change come quickly, it's not coming quickly. It's going to take time.
I believe, though, eventually, you know, our ideas about aging are going to change, and you talk about a new life cycle that needs to become part of life cycles, and it goes way beyond adulthood. And its name, you call it elderhood. So why did you call it elderhood?
Well, you know, around the world and through history, human beings have almost always had the experience of leaving adulthood and entering into a new life phase near the end of life. So we're all familiar with childhood, and in various cultures it's practiced in different ways. We're pretty darn familiar with adulthood. We know what that's all about, you know, a time of making and doing and performing and achieving. Then our society strangely says to people, yeah, you're going to stay an adult for the rest of your life. And it's hard to live a life organized around making and doing and performing and productivity when you're 86. I mean, you're actually not made for that. You're actually made to be living a different life. And the different life is actually elderhood. You're actually made to be, at that point in your life, you're made to be a guide and a teacher and a mentor. That's what you're meant to do at that time. And the problem in America is that what we wind up with is people getting stuck in adulthood. And when we see people getting stuck in childhood, we have a name for that. We call it developmental disability. Well, in America, there's an enormous amount of developmental disability where older people actually get stuck playing out the role of an adult when we really need them to outgrow adulthood and become elders, to become the elders that we need.
That's Dr. Bill Thomas, a two-part interview with our host, Carol Marks. His book is titled Second Wind, Navigating the Passage to a Slower, Deeper, and More Connected Life. It's published by Simon & Schuster. He travels around the country bringing new energy and vitality into late adulthood and beyond. And that's what we're all about here on A Touch of Gray. If you'd like more information, go to the website drbillthomas.com. drbillthomas.com. I love that word that he uses, elderhood. Kind of a positive word, elderhood. And we subscribe to the notion that a society should indeed respect its elders. I think that the quality of a society, you know, the real quality of a society is measured by how it treats its seniors, how it treats its children, and how it treats animals. That really is certainly my opinion, and certainly not only my opinion. How it treats its seniors, how it treats its children, and how kind it is, how considerate a society is to all the creatures of the earth. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Kevin Casey, the vice president and executive editor of the trade publication Talkers. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes in the media. And then I'll be talking with Buzz Aldrin. Should be fun. And then Steve Wiseman joins us. We have a great lineup of people and information coming up in the next half hour right here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Michael Harrison here with you on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Very proud to be with you on this program. This program has been on the air in one form or another consistently now for over two decades. Kind of runs below the radar. It's heard on weekends on great talk radio stations around the country. And what I'm really proud about in terms of this program, in which I have the opportunity to serve as anchor, not as host. Carol Marks is the host, and I certainly am not the only voice on this show. We have a round table of outstanding personalities, experts, and broadcasters. What I love about this show is that in an industry marked by concern, focus, obsession with youth, and believe me, I'm about as young thinking as anybody you'll meet. Sometimes I'm even accused of being immature. But and so I'm all for that, and I'm all for looking ahead. But I'm also for fairness, and I'm also for respect. And the media in America, driven by, obviously, Madison Avenue and commercial concerns, focuses primarily on young people. And if somebody's over 50 or 55 or 60, they quite often find that there's a lot lacking in terms of what's available in the mainstream media. So this program, which was conceived and developed by Carol Marks more than 20 years ago, originally was called Senior Focus, and it evolved into A Touch of Gray, and I became involved with it along the way, is something that really provides a service in as much as it unashamedly, unabashedly, unapologetically brings information to people via this wonderful medium of radio that is of use, of interest, of service, of comfort, of support to people over 50 years of age and their families, which is why I say at the beginning of the program, children of all ages, because so many people in their 50s find themselves in a situation that has been kind of accurately and colorfully termed the sandwich generation, meaning they have children, adult children, still living with them, and abiding by the rule that came down a long time ago, honor thy father and thy mother, they have their parents living with them. In many cases, these parents are in their 80s, 90s, and are living at home. And the amount of pressure that can be put on somebody dealing with adult children and senior parents all under one roof is extraordinary, and it's a phenomenon that in many ways I applaud. I'm all for families staying together. But also, there are people who are in need of support and information. So in many ways, A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, is in fact a program for children of all ages. But I salute Carol Marx. I think that she has done and continues to do a remarkable job. And she does it under sometimes the worst of conditions because, like the rest of us, she's not getting any younger either. But she drives herself to research and get the information needed and select guests and topics. And not only that, she travels around the world and brings information from other countries on how their healthcare systems operate and how the services that they provide for senior citizens there are taken care of and done. And she brings that information back, not to mention she acts as a model, as a role model for people to get up and get out and live life and do things. And she's done everything from, she's explored, you know, if there were four corners on this planet, as the saying goes, she's been to all four of them. Check her out at the website, atouchofgrey.com. Gray is spelled with an E. And I just wanted to mention that she is one fine lady, and we're grateful to be involved with her in this project.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgrey.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgrey.com. We spell gray with an E. A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names. It's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online, from building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase. Hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in the program to talk a little bit about the media and talk radio by our special correspondent, our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who is also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers that serves the talk radio industry at Talkers.com. Well, Kevin, the big event that Talkers Magazine puts on each year, the conference, the convention of talk show hosts and talk broadcasters, has come and gone, but it lingers on in our memory via the magic of videotape. And could you tell us a little bit about what exists on the Talkers website?
Sure. For folks who want to get a little bit of a peek into the talk radio industry and how talk show hosts discuss what goes on in the business and their programs and their philosophies and all that sort of stuff, it's available, you know, online at talkers.com. Videos of the panels where talk show hosts and programmers discuss what they do and what they like to do, and it's all available online on talkers.com in the Talkers TV box.
Yeah, we have how talk show hosts navigate their careers. We have some very interesting speeches by people who are major names in the industry. We have panels on behind-the-scenes technology and how talk show hosts deal with social media, the new digital technology that is utilized in the industry, balance between local programming and national programming. I mean, just about everything. You know what I find? I find that in today's world, people who are fans of anything, whether it's sports, show business, radio, they like to know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think that some of the best movies are the movies that are called the making of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen those where the movie, the making of is better than the movie itself? So that's basically what this is all about. And, folks, you'll be able to see Kevin. You're moderating. You moderate a very interesting panel.
I am the State of Talk Programming in 2015.
And that's all the folks that are the program directors and
interesting array of folks on my panel from a different aspects of the behind the scenes part of the business, which folks I think will find interesting to hear what a lot of these corporate and folks have to say about their craft.
All right, folks, so if you want to check it out, go to talkers.com and you'll be up to date on what's happening in talk radio and some special video features on Talkers TV from Talkers New York 2015, the annual conference of the talk radio industry. Thank you very much. Kevin Casey joins us regularly here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, which continues in a moment.
When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your old tech tools clog your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And those of you who follow this program know I have a particular fascination for astronomy, space, physics, science. And it was a real pleasure for me to cross paths with Buzz Aldrin, the legendary NASA astronaut, but best known for his Apollo 11 moonwalk. He was the second man on the moon. At the age of 83, he continues to wield influence as an international advocate of space science and planetary exploration. And he's going to talk to me about his new book titled Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration, published by National Geographic. I guess you must be at this point in your life used to people treating you with a certain deference as if you were a magical man. Are you used to it? Does it happen? How do you feel about that?
Well, I may be magical in my out-of-the-box original thinking of improving things. I feel I've really cultivated that tremendously recently, but I'm not an old man. I am very current, and I'm learning and organizing people around me gradually to be able to be very much more effective internationally and in learning the mistakes and good things that we did in the past and projecting forward with experts of those years, counselors, into what may become International Space Council to take my ideas as they are improved and integrated into NASA's and government programs and then used to lead internationally other countries.
The well-known, I call him a pop physicist because he's part of that whole media physicist school, and I admire him greatly. Neil deGrasse Tyson is quoted as saying, "Anytime an Apollo-era astronaut steps forward with ideas for our future in space, it's time to stop whatever we're doing and pay attention. Buzz Aldrin, one of the first moonwalkers, has no shortage of these ideas," and he's referring now to your new book, Mission to Mars. He treats us to how, when, and why we should travel there. That is quite a statement from a contemporary media communicator in terms of science. Your book is titled Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration. And obviously you have taken a leadership role, not that you ever would have anything but because of your history, in the movement. And I would say it is a movement among scientists, among sociologists, among explorers, to get humanity, you know, kind of excited about the concept of going to Mars.
Well, I've recently had occasion to bring up and consider the word legacy as a golden Apollo legacy of all the works that were done by this country competitively or cooperatively as we look toward the future, and a pronouncement of an objective, a time period, and a plan. That's what Kennedy hopefully had when he said, we do these things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. The basic plan was changed from rendezvous in Earth orbit with two Saturn V's and a big spacecraft to do much of everything. We broke that spacecraft down into its component parts, and with one rocket launch, we went to the moon and landed and then rendezvoused at the moon to discard objects at the moon and then to come back and re-enter in the same spacecraft that we were launched in. But it did not land on the moon.
When you say it did not land on the moon, you mean the orbiter?
The command module,
right,
Columbia,
right.
Took all three of us to the moon. Neil and I got into Eagle, the lander, and we landed, left the descent stage there, came back up in the ascent stage, joined up with Mike Collins in the Columbia command module, left the Eagle ascent stage in lunar orbit, and then came back and discarded the service module to burn up, and we were covered in the Pacific Ocean.
So it was more about sending men to the moon and bringing them back than it was to really make a step towards some type of a long-lasting colonization program. Is that the gist of what you're saying?
The gist of the U.S. program in the 60s and 70s was to recover leadership from V-2s by Germany, Sputniks by Russia, and to build a technology base in the United States by doing something of major consequence that we could then build upon. Now, as we look forward to appropriate times in the future, what could be more appropriate time than 3 years in, 3 or 4 years into the next presidency, 2 or 3 years, the 50th anniversary, where we really celebrate this golden Apollo legacy and make a commitment for U.S. leadership in 2 decades to lead international capabilities to establish permanence, not visits, but permanence on the planet Mars, and we need philosophers, historians, and other advisors to remind the president of the legacy that he or she will have for hundreds of thousands of years into the future, as committing this nation to lead this world to establish humans from one planet to another planet, to ensure the inspiration, the development of technology for everyone back here, and to lead the world in its elevating its technology, high technology solutions to the problems that exist here on Earth.
Mr. Aldrin, boiling this down to its basic essence, because I only have a few minutes with you, and you're obviously in demand by so many people in the media. One of the real key points that I get from this is you are saying that humanity, that people, a country, a nation, can accomplish almost anything if it musters up the will and the commitment to do it, that it's more about the will and the commitment than it is whether or not certain things are possible. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, you are. And for the last 10 years, or perhaps more, we have had to pinch every penny out of the Bureau of the Budget at 0.5% of discretionary funds to maintain whatever we have invested in and the minimum that we can continue to invest in. So we take old stuff. It's called, in Senate terminology, heritage components from the 70s that were part of the shuttle in the 80s and 90s and part of the proposals of President Bush for Constellation that stumbled, was canceled. But those components become part of what the government now says will become the heavy lift rocket of the future.
How do you feel about the blending of private space exploration, private technology that so many people are talking about today, either versus the government having a monopoly on that endeavor, or do you see it as a mutual effort, a cooperative effort between private enterprise and organized government enterprise?
Things are built by companies. The government does not build things, but they decide what should be built and how it should be built. And then they open it up for competition to build it their way, using heritage components from the 70s, 80s, and 90s to become the rocket of the future that will take us to Mars. But it costs so much that we can't afford to fly it and supplies and people more often, at most twice a year.
We
can't support a Mars program with the government doing that for us in competition with the private sector launch providers. NASA needs to be the payload delivery system of upper stages that are refueled from depots by upper stages that become reusable tankers delivering the fuel back to low Earth orbit, where the stages have not been using Earth fuel to take them Mars distance, the distance to the moon, refuel them, put the crew in them under radiation conditions, and then what do? At the moon, they depart and swing by the Earth, low altitude, because that's the efficient time to make the delta V, the burn for trans-Mars injection. We can do that from low Earth orbit without ever going out to the moon. And you can do it with lunar fuel, not Earth fuel, to get out there, then refuel with lunar fuel to swing by the Earth.
In the final moments that we have together, what would you say are the philosophical components of why humanity should go into space, beginning with the colonization and exploration of Mars? Why should we be doing this?
I had a speechwriter years ago. We evolve or we expire as a civilization. We explore. It's built into the human genome to wonder what's on the other side of the mountain, what's on the other side of the ocean, how do we get to resources and another continent, can we go across the ocean to get them? That's what Columbus did, whether he knew where he was going or not.
So what you're saying,
what exploration does, it opens up frontiers for commercial activities.
So what you're basically saying is that we should follow our nature, and thus we'll be fulfilling our destiny.
Yes, and a bunch of people get together, and one says, this we should do, this we should do, this. Let's compete and find out who has the best design and the best plan. Then everybody gets behind the best one, okay?
Mr.
We should compete at the design, at the plan level. your plan better than mine or mine better than yours? Well, pick the best one.
Yeah.
And then cooperate with all people and execute that plan.
And there you have it, Buzz Aldrin, the legendary NASA astronaut, in conversation, talking about his new book, Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration, published by National Geographic. I'm Michael Harrison, conducting that interview and serving as the anchor of the program. Coming up next, Stephen Wiseman.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. You may recognize the symptoms of elderly depression, loss of appetite, weight loss, social withdrawal, problems with hygiene, neglecting personal well-being, or even a sadness that lasts over 2 weeks. Sound familiar? Here's what you can do about it. Exercise, eat well, and don't forget to socialize. Researchers at Duke University suggest exercising at least 3 times a week to keep the body and mind healthy. That means swimming, walking, and maybe light exercise classes with the approval of your medical doctor. Another key to happiness is maintaining self-esteem through clubs and groups. You might consider the gardening club or a musical choir. And lastly, treat your body well and it will thank you by feeling well. That means practicing good nutrition and eating well-balanced meals daily. Naturally, the needs of patients vary, but feel free to consult a geriatric specialist to make a personalized treatment plan. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at premiergeriatricrn.com.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with 4 legs and a tail. My husband and I train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed a very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com. You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Steve Wiseman is an attorney, he's an author, he's an expert on so many of the things we discuss on this program, including scams. He's one of the nation's leading experts on cybersecurity, fraud, and scams here in the digital age. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. Also published by Prentice Hall is his latest book, Identity Theft Alert. And he has this amazing website that you can visit. It's scamicide.com, scamicide.com. Well, Steve is now going to talk about charity scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, in the years that I've been on A Touch of Gray, there's been no shortage of disasters, both natural and man-made, that have touched the hearts of people around the world seeking to help. And mankind indeed can be quite kind and giving when our fellow man is in need. And the generosity of people here in the United States and around the world is a wonderful thing. However, You knew there was a but coming, right? Scammers are always present at times like this, eager to take our charitable impulse and turn it into an opportunity to steal money that you want to help people to line their own pocketbooks. The recent earthquake in Nepal, which has killed more than 3,000 people and affected many more, is one of those events that's drawn many people who want to help by making a donation to a charity that can provide assistance to the affected people of Nepal. However, there are many scammers who are setting up phony charities or using the names of legitimate charities to steal charitable donations. And this is something you really need to be careful about. Be very wary of telemarketers seeking charitable contributions. Whenever you receive a telephone call, it purports to be from a charity, you can't be sure that that caller is legitimate. In addition, even if the caller is a legitimate solicitor on behalf of a charity, they work on commission, and some of what you donate will be going to the telemarketer. If a telemarketer arouses your interest in a particular charity, ask the telemarketer to send you written information that you can review before making a contribution directly to the charity, and that way you know it'll go entirely to the charity. As for email and text message solicitations from charities, be particularly careful, because not only can you not be sure if they're legitimate or not, they may be worse than that. The email or text message may contain a link or attachment that has malware that can steal the information from your computer or smartphone and use it to make you a victim of identity theft. CharityNavigator.org, that's CharityNavigator.org, is a great resource. It's a free website at which you can look up any charity to which you may be considering making a donation. Not only will CharityNavigator.org tell you whether or not the charity is a scam or not, it'll also tell you how much of the money given to the charity goes towards the charitable works and how much it pays in salary and administrative costs. Some of the well-established and highly rated charities presently working on the Nepal relief effort include America Cares, CARE, Catholic Relief Services, Direct Relief, Global Giving, Save the Children, and the SIVA Foundation. You can get a lot more information about these charities and others at CharityNavigator.org, as well as find links to the charities themselves where you can make a donation.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Charity scams, be on the lookout, and check out scamaside.com. And Identity Theft Alert is Steve's latest book, published by Prentice Hall. Steve Wiseman, one of our senior correspondents here on A Touch of Gray. Thank you, Kevin Casey, also a senior correspondent, for joining us. Thank you, Beverly Santanella, our producer on the front line organizing it. And most importantly, a big thanks to Carol Marks for the fine job she has done over the years as the host and founder of this program. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison in the Anchor Chair, inviting you to join us here next weekend for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.